Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Welspun Enterprises Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Salil Bawa, Head Group Investor Relations, Welspun Group. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. I welcome all of you to the Q3 FY23 earnings call of Welspun Enterprises Limited. Present along with me today on this forum are Mr. Sandeep Garg, Managing Director, Mr. Akhil Jindal, Group Chief Financial Officer and Head Strategy, Welspun Group. I also have Lalit Jain, Senior Vice President, Finance for Welspun Enterprises Limited. You must have received the results and investor presentation of the company, which are also available on BSE, NSE, as well as on the company's website. As usual, we will start the forum with some opening remarks by our leadership team. We will then open the floor for your questions. During the discussion, we may be making references to this presentation, which is uploaded on our website as well as on the stock exchanges. Please do take a moment to review the safe harbor statement in our presentation. Should you have any queries that remain unanswered after this earnings call, you can reach out to us. With that, I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Sandeep Garg, MD, Welspun Enterprises. Over to you, Sandeep.
Thank you, Salil. Good afternoon to everyone present on the call. Firstly, I would take time to congratulate Mr. Lalit Jain for being the acting interim CFO. Now, let me begin the call with the discussions for the quarter. First and foremost, I'd like to inform you of our Actis transaction. We are pleased to report that during the quarter, we have already received rupees 2,172 crores, including partial release of working capital. This is around 90% of the funds receivable from this transaction. Further balance money shall be received on 51% stake sale approval of BOT assets and fulfillment of other conditions subsequent. As we highlighted earlier, this transaction translates into 19% equity IRR on exiting portfolio. With the Actis transaction closure, we have demonstrated the value creation of the entire value chain that is successfully winning, constructing, stabilizing, and monetizing off-road assets. With our unique model of asset-light execution, we are able to maintain a lean balance sheet, which results in better translation of revenues to profits. You can appreciate that we capture our profit by way of EPC business during the construction phase of these projects, as well as at the time of divestment of the portfolio. I would also like to highlight at this time that since we entered into HAM business, including the proposed buyback, we would have distributed approximately rupees 50 per share, amounting to rupees 700 crores plus to shareholders by way of dividend and buybacks. With the successful recycling of capital, we have a net debt balance as negative rupees 1,582 crores at standalone level, which gives us a strong foundation for our next phase of growth. Out of the monies we have received, we have set aside funds to repay our debts and become debt-free standalone at a standalone level over the next 2 quarters. In the next growth phase, we will continue to target high value, high margin assets. We will also continue to work with our low risk asset light execution model. Now coming to the quarterly highlights, we continued our performance in the Q3 FY23 on back of efficient execution of our EPC projects, both in roads and wastewater treatment segments. In terms of standalone figures, our revenue from operations increased by 210%, while our PBT before exceptional incomes increased substantially. We saw our improvement in margins in this quarter over the same quarter last year as input costs have begun to moderate. On the order book front, we had a very strong order book of rupees 10,800 crores as of December 31st, 2022. This includes rupees 1,800 crores for O&M and asset replacement in the NCGM STP project. Our business strategy is focused on two goals. First, building a portfolio that generates high value, high margin projects. And second, diversifying our portfolio to de-risk ourselves from dependency on any single subsegment of infrastructure. Water and wastewater treatment projects account for 57% of our order book, with the remainder being road projects. We see enormous opportunities in the water and wastewater treatment segment going forward. Lastly, on the operations front, on the HAM assets, I am happy to inform that NHAI has approved extension of time for completion of Antasimaria project up to 29th October 2024, whereas extension of time for Satanathapuram Nagapattinam SNRP project is under finalization. As far as the physical progress of these projects is concerned, Antasimaria project has achieved a physical progress of more than 40%, and SNRP HAM project has achieved a physical progress of about 15%. With the background of the quarter, I would request Akhil to take you through the financial results of the company.
Yeah, thank you, Sandeep. Good afternoon to everyone. This quarter has seen some exceptional performance by the company, primarily one, because of the Axis deal, and secondly also because we executed a lot of orders in this quarter, and naturally the numbers are a reflection of both this positive developments. So the Q3 FY23, as you would have seen, we recorded a 680 crores as a top line, which is nearly two times higher than what was delivered the last quarter, I mean the same quarter on a YOY basis. This of course includes the successful execution of large projects in roads, waters, and this has naturally driven both revenue as well as profit for the company. We are also seeing there has been a cost moderation, and thereby we expect margins to improve here from here on, and the whole industry should be, in my opinion, be re-rated as far as the margins are concerned. On a 9-month basis, you would have seen our profit has gone up, the revenue has gone up to almost 1800 crores. Our PBT has gone up to 125 crores and the PAT has gone up to 576 crores. Now the PAT of course includes the exceptional item which we are going to speak a little while, and that's largely on the account of Active Steel. So looking at the consolidated numbers, the revenue of the company for this quarter has been 717 crores. The revenue on the consolidated side was of course driven by the EPC revenue as well as the toll annuity revenue during the quarter. You must be aware that we have got five annuity projects and one toll project already operational. And these all six projects were the part of the deal that we have done with Actis. Naturally, from next quarter onwards, you will not see this top line and the bottom line impact of these exits. The PBT without the exceptional item was reported at 59 crores for this quarter. So thereby, if you see on an overall basis, the net profit of the company has gone to almost 402 crores on a consolidated basis, which of course include 357 crores of exceptional item for this quarter. On a 9-month basis, the total revenue consolidated is nearly touching 2000 crore at 1985 to be precise. PBT is around 132 crores and the PAT with an exceptional item is 584 crores. Now this of course, as I mentioned to you, includes 427 crores for the quarter, for the Actis deal, and the details of which are already provided in the clause 41, which is uploaded on the website and also shared with the stock exchange day before yesterday. With this, I open the floor for question and answers. If there is any question, ask the operator to assist you. And as a management team, we will try and answer it as much as we can on this call today. Anything left over, you can always reach out to our IR team and they would be happy to answer any of your questions which are unanswered today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Sudhanshu Bansal from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sirs. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for the good set of results. With respect to the acquisition of Welspun New Energy Limited, it would be great if you can share your vision for the new venture in terms of one, target areas like solar, wind or other. Second, the size of the opportunity, what we are targeting. And the third, the business model like what we want to become in terms of EPC player or a developer. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Firstly, the board has given us a clearance to evaluate new or sustainable energy options for us to decide where we want to be in this whole chain of sustainable new energy business. We need a team of competent people as well as certain experts to advise us. We have taken an initial clearance from the board to explore this. We shall come back to you once we have decided as to which subsegment of the sustainable new energy we want to play and the business plan that we have for the same.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Rohit Natarajan from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. Congratulations on a
very good set of numbers. Sorry, Mr. Natarajan, if you can switch to handset mode and speak, we can't hear you clearly.
I hope I'm not audible.
This a little better.
Yeah, so congratulations on this fantastic deal. And even the good set of results. My first question is, now that you have almost like 300 crore cash, as you made in your opening remarks, help us understand in the big picture, what exactly is the quantum of HAM assets you could deploy this capital as equity in? So if I understand it correctly, this can support at least 10,000 crore of additional order inflow if you're looking to any from a HAM assets perspective. Can you throw some color on those big picture parts?
If I were to understand your question correctly, your question is that if this 1500 crores cash surplus were to be deployed purely for HAM related projects, how many projects could it practically support? Principle of past experience, we believe that this kind of liquidity should be able to support projects of about 12 to 15,000 crores easily.
And how much do you plan to do in the year? Will the entire location be and the roads? Will there be any?
Mr. Natarajan, I'm sorry, your voice is breaking up. If you can just adjust your device or move to an area where there's better network, sir. And you'll have to repeat your question.
What are we looking in? Like, I mean, are we really confined our opportunity space to roads in terms of capital allocation? And what percentage do the interest will be?
So we, as I said in my opening remarks, we are already present in road and water vertical. We have taken a decision to explore the new energy, sustainable energy solutions. The capital allocation towards each of these segments will be taken up in the annual business plan exercise for the FY24. And once that clarity emerges, we will share the details with you.
Sure. What stage of execution are we right now? I mean, when can we expect the execution numbers to be looking like in FY24?
There's a lot of problem with the voice that I'm getting.
Maybe yeah. Mr. Natarajan, I would request you to return to the queue. We'll have an operator check your connection join you to the call.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take our next question, we'd like to remind participants, if you wish to ask a question, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Akash Mehta from Kapaz Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. I just had a quick question. How much money are we planning to invest towards oil and gas and road?
So, as I had stated earlier, we are awaiting the field development plan, which is expected within the February. Once the field development plan is clear, we would know exactly how much money will be required for developing the project, the assets. Based on the numbers thereafter, we will be able to give you a clarity. At this point in time, before the FDP is finished, we need to invest about 15-20 crores, which we will continue to do during this period while the FDP is accepted by the government.
All right. And do we have any plans to invest in warehousing as well?
We surely have no plans to invest in the warehousing. This money is going to remain in the infrastructure space itself.
Okay. Got it. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Harshit Toshniwal from BU Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. So, Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Few questions, sir. So first, I just wanted to clarify that post this Actis deal, our net debt position, basically gross debt minus cash, which because I think we have 600 crore in gross debt, net of that, we are having around 1100, 1200 crore cash.
Yeah, you're right.
On the consolidated level.
We have, as on the 31st of December, our net debt basis is 1,582 crores. And,
sir, it was not very clear. Can you repeat it again?
So as on 31st December, our net debt position is 1,582 crores. Okay? Then the company announced the special dividend and the buyback, amounting to almost 400 crore plus. So that means the net cash position as on March, in our opinion, will be in the range of 1100 crores, as you have rightly mentioned.
So this 1582 crore is not net debt, it is net cash.
Yeah, so you're right, post retirement of all the debt and everything, which is the, which some of this may fall due in May also. After the retirement of the debt in May, this will be around 1100 crore net cash.
So if I understand it correctly, just to calculate, 2200 crore is what we receive. We have received 400 crore will be for dividend and buyback. So 2200 minus 400 is around 1800 crore. 600 crore we have an existing gross debt which will repay over the next 3-4 months. So net will be remaining with around 1100 crore of cash.
Yeah, and this is of course after investing some amount in the working capital of the company, because we are in execution phase for almost 10,000 crore of the project. So some part of the money that was received earlier is also allocated towards the day-to-day working capital, and we are ensuring we are ensuring that we are not withdrawing any CC, any CP. I mean, we are not drawing any CC or any CP, and managing the business with the working capital allocation that we have done.
Got it. Second question is, sir, so right now if 3QFI23, if I look at the number, we have a revenue of around 668 crore and an EBITDA of around 77 crore. This is a standalone. On an consolidated basis, our EBITDA is more like 92 crore and revenue 700 crore. Just want to understand that out of the assets which we have sold, a good part of the number is something which is not going to come in 4Q. So if you can split the total income and EBITDA of Q3 into what is not going to come from 4Q.
So if I understand your question correctly, the question is how much of the EBITDA that we have reported is coming from discontinued operations?
Right.
So if that's the question, we do not expect any percentage-wise negative impact on the EBITDA due to the discontinued operations. As Akhil mentioned in his earlier statement, we do expect because of the moderation of the commodities, improvement at the EBITDA level, but we do not see any negative coming out because of this.
No, sir, if I may ask, I am not asking of margin. I am saying that out of the 92 crore Q3 EBITDA, there would be some component from the assets which we sold. So you are saying that the contribution was negative, which is why the EBITDA in absolute basis will not be impacted.
So if you see on the consolidated numbers, profit from discontinued operations in the Q3 FY23 on a consol level is zero. So if you were to look at our press release, the profit from discontinuing operations is dash in the Q3 FY23. So there is nothing which is contributing here for the Q3.
Okay, so this Q3 number is basically, if I remove that exceptional item, but PBT before exceptional item is a sustainable number even from Q4.
Yeah, that's the point.
Okay. Yeah, because this transition has happened in this quarter, so So clearly the profit from the discontinuing operation you would have seen in our press release has been indicated as zero.
Okay. Okay. Got it, got it. Which maybe in the last quarter it was 108 crore. So that you have already segregated.
That's right. That's right.
Got it. And last it. So got it. Sir, the other question is that we have a contract order book of around 10,000 crores. If you can give some indication of the period over which it will be executed roughly, and do we expect to maintain around 10 to 12% margin in this 10,000 crore product number?
So, as I said earlier, on the HAM portfolio or the development portfolio, we have a profit or gain accounted under two scenarios. That is one during the construction phase, and you are right. During the construction phase, right, that we will have some noise at the construction phase. It is correct to anticipate that the margins will be hovering around 11-12% for the developmental projects as well as the EPC projects.
Yeah, so just to add to what Sandeep has said, we have a sustainable EPC margin, which is reflected in our books as on a quarter-to-quarter basis. In addition, there are these exit special occasion exit margins, and as a company, we have a model of a EPC which is regular, and an exit which is periodic, which cannot be every quarter. So what is driving Sandeep is, as a company, we are delivering profits into two buckets. One is on our ongoing sustainable EPC margin, and also on the on the exits of the road assets or other assets that we are creating, which happens, say, every 3 or 5 years, as the cycle may be.
Understood. So if I can just rephrase the question slightly, that out of that 10,000 crore, I don't know the number, but say for example, some portion would be EPC, which would flow gradually in our P&L, and obviously maybe if it's a 4,000 crore, and the balance 5,000 crore, which is more the expenditure of which will get a capital gain at one point of time after 3 or 4 years. Because I just wanted to understand that how do we contemplate that of this 10,000 crore order book, how much will be flowing at a gradual level through the P&L, and how much would be restricted for that capital gain point?
So let me try and answer this question. The out of this 10,800 crore is a pure EPC order book of developmental as well as pure EPC play. So you can see, you will get 11-12% return on this portfolio on a regular basis. The portfolio behind the developmental portfolio behind this is also of a magnitude of about 3,500 odd crores, of which you will get a lumpy exit when the projects are completed and we exit from those portfolios. I hope I have answered the question. Another thing that I may want to clarify at this point in time, because you've been talking about EBITDA levels, I want to bring, because we are into an asset-light model execution, as I said in my opening statement, the right metrics for us to be evaluated is more profit before tax, because unlike most of the other infrastructure companies, we do not have a lever or a depreciation which is a differentiating factor in our model, and that's what my submission would be, that the right metrics for us to be evaluated is a PBT, and a PBT over a life cycle of the assets rather than a quarterly basis, which possibly is a bit downplayed on a quarter to quarter basis.
Thank you.
I had a follow-up, but
sorry to interrupt. Yeah. Maybe request you to
sure.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. We will take our next question. That's from the line of Amit from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on the fantastic results. Recently you guys had submitted on the exchanges about the Welspun Natural Resources being liquidated, and I think it includes the oil and gas thing as well. So just, I mean, wanted to have some light on it, if there's anything more than what is being already known to the exchanges.
So I think we have been very categorical in our releases. The WNRL was an intermediary company holding our oil and gas assets in, for the purposes of easing up the compliances and making it light. We decided to liquidate the Welspun Natural Resources. I don't think there is anything else that really is something that I can declare.
Just a very basic thing. Just wanted to understand. These businesses still stay with the Welspun Enterprise. Is that correct?
That is correct. So the what we were holding through Welspun Natural Resources now directly is held at Welspun Enterprises level.
Correct. Any light on possibly when could these assets start their commercial production, etc.?
So we are awaiting the field development plan, which as I said earlier, we are expecting within the February. The intent is to try and make them operational by FY26. So anytime between.
Great. And so just one more thing. So as previously we were focusing mainly on ham, I think we found a very sweet spot there where competition was less. Now I think the competition has sort of intensified there. But I think smartly, I think we are now more focusing on a water thing, which I presume is not everyone's expertise. So is that understanding correct?
Yeah, the understanding is correct. So we are very clear that we will not play in a very intensely competitive cutthroat pricing competition environment. So we are de-risking our as a company by adding portfolio and the models to offer. So that is the way we look at infrastructure play.
That's excellent. I wish you all the best. I think that's one of the best, probably very good strategies to adopt. I wish you all the best.
Really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rohit Natarajan from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you for this opportunity once again. So my first question is more to do, just to follow up on the earlier question, Welspun Natural Resources. Is there any impairment that probably we may think about in the days to come?
We don't see any impairment coming through this process per se.
Okay. So my second question is in the execution track record. If I recollect last time, you said FY24, you're looking at 36 billion, 3 billion kind of execution every month. Is that, target intact?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, I said going forward from the time that I was addressing. So we believe that period was somewhere around the middle of November. So we are tracking alongside that way. We do believe that going forward, that will be the run rate.
And sir, any update on the wastewater treatment project? Is it like already or hitting on the ground, contributing to the numbers? What's the status over there?
So it should start contributing very small numbers in the Q4 of FY23. However, the major contributions will start from in the FY24 only.
I understand, sir, when you talked about the capital allocation part, it's too early for you to make any commitment on road and the solar part or the renewable part. But if you could give us some color on where at least the sectors will be. Like, I mean, one, obviously, the roads, which is your HAM projects. Water projects is essentially for EPC. But the capital allocation for other things, you were earlier contemplating railways too. So what exactly are the sectors that we are looking in terms of capital allocation?
So railways, we have been looking for some time and we will continue to look at it if it makes economic sense and we can develop a model which is unique. So we develop unique models and we stay differentiated. That's the way we look at the industry. As I said, we are looking at sustainable alternate or new energy sources. So we do believe that there are various opportunities unfolding there as well with the focus of the government. And we do have the strength and the ability to mature a few of them. So I think the right time to look at this would be about a quarter later from now when we have some firm capital allocations and better understanding of what the government's views are on beyond the budget announcements for us to have a conversation around this allocation.
Yeah. Sir, also earlier you were thinking about buying a lot of equipments and, you know, going a little bit more down the vertical in EPC part. Is that thesis also intact?
So I do not know how where you gathered it from that we would want to buy equipment. We have always maintained that we will be asset light. If we buy the equipment, it is primarily to support the subcontractor base that helps us complete the project, and we transfer these assets to the subcontractor upon completion of the project. So we don't retain these assets onto the balance sheet beyond the project completion for which specifically these are bought.
I appreciate all your answers, sir. Thank you for taking the time and wish you all the best.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Preet Jain from Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, my first question is, how much money are you planning to invest towards oil and gas and road sector? And my second question is, do you have any plans to invest in warehousing also?
So thank you. As I had said, we have absolutely no plan to invest in warehousing. As far as the road is concerned, the current commitment on the existing portfolio of the road, we have approximately 225 odd crores to be invested. Balance. As regards the oil and gas sector, we have about 20-25 crores of pre-committed expenses till the time FDP is received and approved. Post the field development plan being received for the oil and gas sector, will we be in a position to give the numbers that we need to invest to make them operational? I want to state only two things on oil and gas to respond to your questions. We have a clarity that if we when we develop this assets, we will develop in the two phases. The first phase will be a very low capex option, wherein for us the fields that we are having or from where we want to produce have infrastructure of alternate companies, which we can use to get the initial gas or the liquids out, which we plan to use so that the capex is at a very basic level at the phase one. And the next phase will be with the full development of the field, which will be self-funded from the cash flows of the initial gas that we will produce or in the initial fluids that we will produce. So two messaging, that's number one on the oil and gas. I can only comment upon the CapEx once the field development plan is available to us. We have decided that it will be a phased development. Phase one will be low CapEx, or initial gas out.
And once the profitability is established, we will start looking at the full field development. And the second message that I would want to give, that the from the funds that we have, we are not contemplating any investment in warehousing. Hope I have responded to your questions. Hello.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for answering my question in detail.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vikash, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on excellent set of results. Just a few follow-up questions in terms of the oil and gas that you were talking about. There's a write-off of approximately 57 crores on this Palej oil block. Can you just throw some color on it?
So, as I have been telling in the past, that Palej block was a block which was bidded as in conjunction with a company called Neptogas, and the government had taken a view that the Neptogas had committed a fraud and had decided not to let us proceed with this particular block. So we have been declaring that this is something which is litigious. Now when we were liquidating wells for natural resources, it was a requirement to take a write-off of this particular asset, so which we have taken. However, our fight with the government to in respect of this block will continue to, as we generally believe, that the block was terminated by the government on basis which is not fair and equitable to us.
Sure, sir. Additional question, sir. See, because oil and gas is not a significant line of business, can you help us understand a little bit in terms of how we should be valuing this business per se? I understand 400 crores has been invested, but what's the kind of return that can be expected in the longer run?
So, As I have been maintaining that we target mid-teens returns for the businesses that we enter into. So our endeavor for any future investment should we make beyond what we are already committed to will be guided by the same principle of return, that can we generate the mid-teen returns. If cannot, we shall not pursue the opportunities.
So actually, I'm trying to understand in terms of the oil and gas assets and basically two assets in Mumbai offshore where oil and gas has been found, what kind of potential valuations or returns, something that we can generate from this in the next 2, 3, 4 years, whatsoever per se?
So it's as I have been maintaining, see, the right now, if my any guesswork, any messaging will be a guesswork. We are expecting the field development plan from a company called CGG. In France, so which is a like a gold standard in this industry, for them to advise us, for us to produce from these fields, what it will entail and what kind of margins can we expect. So once we have that clarity, we will take a capital allocation decision and come back to the investors whether we are going ahead with the development or not, and in which form and fashion are we going to go ahead with it. But giving you a guiding principle that we do not look for any developmental projects until unless our return expectations of mid-teen are met. So that criteria shall apply to oil and gas equally well.
Thanks, sir. Last question, sir. Any plans to probably exit this business similar to what the HAM asset you sold to Actis?
So as I said, we are an asset-light model company. And we do ensure that we get the right value for our assets. So we will develop, we will mature, provided there is a return potential of the asset, and look at various options of divestment, because we don't want to hold anything for a long term, which becomes more of a rental game.
So last question, sir. Any thoughts right now whether you are planning to exit or is going to be more open? Any discussions on with respect to exit?
At this point in time, if we were to go for an exit, the field development plan is not in place, and it will be there will be a developmental risk that the buyer will take. So we do believe that the right valuation will come, and we will de-risk it from a developmental risk and demonstrate the viability of the project.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now request Mr. Sandeep Garg to add a few closing comments.
Thank you very much. I would like to thank once again all of you for joining us on this call today. And I hope we have been able to address all your queries. I look forward to speaking to you once again during the next quarter. Meanwhile, please feel free to reach out to Mr. Salil or SGA, our investor relationship advisors, for any clarifications or feedback. Thank you all. Good day.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of JM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.